Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You ready?
Welcome to duty, Commander.
Let's go!
Go, go, go! Enemy forces spotted. Follow me, men. Watch out, grenade! Man down, man down!
All right, you're good to go.
Thanks, much appreciated.
All clear. Position under control. Out.
We've regained control. Good work, men.
You've been recommended for promotion. Promotion. Promotion.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, don't get your money's worth. Ready to show, it has my power. And you gotta see the show. It's about to move.
And thank you, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and before that, AC/DC, and thank you, Bullwinkle and Rocky. You're listening to American by Design with your host, Ben Fisher. I hope I'm coming through all right today. I'm at least hearing myself in the audio feed here. The number here is 718-305-7176. And at the bottom of this hour, we're going to have free market warrior Lawrence Spivak on, and he's going to talk about some new books he's got out, and he's also coming to Tennessee here in August, I believe, and we'll talk to him about that to do some speaking arrangements. As I always do to start the show, in the 2 hours it takes me to do this show, we will have 274 abortions performed, $360 million dollars will be added to the debt, and that number has got to be revised with all the illegals coming over the border. We're going to have 45 murders and 44 rapes, and 50% more people are on food stamps now since Obama took office. Beautiful, huh? Just beautiful. But I really didn't want to get – actually, we're also going to have on the show a couple people, I think, that should be calling in a little bit that have, you know, local races and so on. I just wanted to open my show from now till Election Day for local candidates running for office, whether it be in Tennessee, whether it be anywhere else, to call in and you know, just state their position, state what they're running for, and, you know, we'll talk to them a little bit about it. So the number here is 718-305-7176. I really didn't want to get heavy today because last week's show, and I really apologize for that. I don't know. And when I started the show, it just bombed out. I had somebody else's show playing over the top of me. Actually, on this show, I had somebody else's show kind of starting on top of me, but I don't know. I talked to BTR about it, and they said, "Dad, there is a problem." She was pretty candid with me about it. And she says, you know, they had a hot fix that they plugged in, I don't know, a couple nights ago or something like that, that supposedly fixed all this. But now I got looming thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms coming in. So I'm like, okay, hopefully I don't get zapped by lightning or something happens here on that end. But I think they fixed it all. I hope you all had a great weekend. It's Monday, as you know, the 14th of July. Early voting in Tennessee starts Friday, so we'll have early voting going on, and there are elections are in August, but for the primaries anyways. But I wanted to talk about a couple things. I did go out this weekend on the Bush Hog, and I knocked down just a bunch of tall grass, and I have to say, I don't know why I keep doing this without wearing a mask, because, or a respirator or something, because today it totally killed me. I got up this morning, I hardly couldn't breathe, my lungs were killing me, and I don't know, when you keep repeating something over and over again that you know is wrong, that's a definition of insanity, and maybe I'm there, I don't know. I didn't think that it was really going to bother me that much, but it did. But I'm getting over that. I'm feeling a little bit better today. There is some good news that I wanted to bring out, and that is that, I got it right here, my greedy little fingers. Laura Ingraham has come out, a national syndicated talk show host, has come out and endorsed Joe Carr, basically saying she's all in it for Carr. And, of course, you know that I'm working a little bit here and there on his campaign. We're trying to get up in the polls, and we're trying to do whatever we can grassroots style. This is a grassroots campaign, and at least in Tennessee that I can see. There's a lot of people involved in it and so on. And Joe Carr jumped from in May, okay? Check this out. This is great, fantastic news. Since Laura Ingraham started, you know, promoting him and had him, Joe Carr, on her show and so on, he went 16 points from May. He's only down now 7 percentage points at 43-36% with 10% undecided. That's big news. You got 6.7% voters that are going for the long shot, George Flynn. 4% choose another candidate, and 10.1% were not sure. So it's those 10.1% that could really swing this election to a dead tie, if not Joe Carr in front. So I just want to ask everybody out there, and it's important, you know, with Laura's endorsement, so to speak, that because Laura was, you know, very, she was pretty much responsible in a large way, I think, for David Bratt's primary win against House Majority Leader Representative Eric Cantor in Virginia. And that's a big frickin' deal, as Joe Biden would say. It's a big deal because that never in history has a House Majority Leader been kicked out, you know. Don't let the screen door hit you where the good Lord split you. I mean, he was kicked out, and largely due to, I think, some of her promotions and so on, and interviews that she gave. And it's just a great time to be alive, I think. I got a crossbow this weekend, and I put it together. Actually, we get a bonus check at work. We get one. We call it Christmas in July and Christmas in November. We get two per year. And it's not a check per se. It's just they give you, you know, Walmart gift cards. But you can buy things from other places through Walmart. So I gave my family some money, and they said, well, why don't you get something for yourself, you know, that kind of stuff. Normally, I just give everything to my family and let them spend it, you know. And so this time I was a little bit selfish, and it took me like 2 weeks to figure out what it is that I want. I looked at vacuum sealers because I'm kind of a preppy in a way. I looked at a couple other things that I thought would help the family. What I ended up doing was buying a crossbow. It's 175-pound draw, and it's easy to pull. I put it together. I mean, you know, took me, I don't know, a half an hour to put it together. There's not much to go together on this crossbow, but it's an Arrow Inferno Fury 2, And I'd done already lost one bolt out of it because I hit the ground with it. I adjusted my, it's got a red dot on it. I adjusted the red dot a little bit too low. I'm not used to red dots. I don't like them, so I'm probably going to take that off and put a scope on it. But me and my daughter Carrie went out shooting it, and she loves it. Now she wants one, and it's like, okay, you know, the family might be a family project, but she actually, I think, shoots a little bit better than I do, than her papa does, because her first shot was just a, I don't know, maybe about 6 inches to the left of the bullseye. And mine was a little bit high on the bullseye, but it was more tracking on target to the bullseye. But she's going to grow up to just be a great marksman, I think. If she likes bows, I'm going to try to get her into it. But yeah, this news that Joe Carr up 43% to 36%, or he's down 7. Okay, so but that's a lot better than it was 44% to 20% in May. In May, so in 1 month, in 2 months we jumped 16 points. Percentage points, and you still got the 10% out there that are undecided. So I think we're going to see the momentum has definitely changed. There's car signs going up all over the place in Tennessee where I travel to, and if you can, if you have not already, go to car4tn, that's carrfortn.com, and just donate. If you got $5, donate $5. If you got 10, 15, 20, if you got more than that, look, every bit is appreciated because we got ads running, we got all sorts of outreach programs going on and all sorts of things going on that that will help us grassroots to beat Lamar Alexander, the liberal Lamar is what we call him here. So that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're trying to accomplish. And I've got somebody who's going to be calling me in here in a few minutes, but I wanted to tell you that real quick, that our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so. Since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, his parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I'm looking at some of the stories. We got just so much. There's so much bad stuff going on in this country. It's unbelievable. We got babies washing up on the banks of the Rio Grande. Well, we got dead kids, okay, dead children. The administration with their lack of border support and immigration, you know, they're touting these children, these kids. I call them kids because a lot of them are like, you know, 14 to 17, I think. 20% of them are under that, and they're in MS-13, the gangs from Mexico, you know. They're getting free chartered airplane rides. They're getting free bus rides. They don't have to go through the TSA screening stuff like me and you do. All they have to show is a little piece of paper that they can duplicate anywhere and say that they will show up for a court hearing before a magistrate to determine their status as far as what they can do. And these are people coming via Mexico. Mexico is putting them on death trains. They're overloading these trains. I watched video of it. It's amazing. These people are trying to, you know, duck tree limbs and all that because they're on top of the train. They're on top of it. They're trying to duck so they won't get hurt. Many of them probably do, and we just don't know. We don't know who these people are. We've got reports now that there's Chinese that are coming in. We've got reports that there's Muslims coming in. This is remaking the whole landscape of the political spectrum in the United States. This is by design, totally by design, from this administration. And I don't think that they're really wanting to change the political landscape so much is that they want to destroy this country. That's been their plan from the beginning. Michelle Obama, I don't, you know, never been, you know, proud to be an American. I mean, you know, Obama's out golfing, went down to visit with Rick Perry, and he's laughing the whole time. Governor Perry down there in Texas. He's laughing the whole time because he thinks this is funny. It's a big joke to him. It's not a joke to me. It's not a joke to probably the majority of this country. Majority of this country thinks that he is doing a bad job. He's even disenfranchising. This is what I find highly ironic. He's disenfranchising the black community, especially in Chicago and some of the burned out areas that liberals have already done destroyed, because they feel that these people are getting preferential treatment over them. And I find that highly ironic, because blacks, and we can have this discussion maybe at a different time, but you know, you've got all these equal opportunity programs and all this kind of stuff going. And they are bitching about the illegals coming over here, which I find, you know, great that they're doing that. But come on, you know, let's kick back and sit back and look at yourself too, because there are some things that we're doing that are not preferential to a union, preferential to that are good for a union. So I think we need to look at some of that too. But we're going to take a quick break here. It's 7:16, a little bit over my time, but please stick with me. We'll have some good stuff coming up, and then we got Lauren Spivak coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in about
'Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Career politician Lamar Alexander has lost his way. Thankfully, Tennessee conservatives have a better choice. Conservative Joe Carr has a dependable record of standing up for conservative principles. In the Republican primary, conservatives will vote for Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar says we should be patient about fixing the debt. Joe Carr says the debt bomb must be defused now. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Democrats to protect Obamacare from conservative Senator Ted Cruz. Joe Carr stood with Cruz to defund Obamacare. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Barack Obama to reward illegal immigrants with citizenship. Joe Carr led the effort to stop the growth of illegal immigration to Tennessee. The choice is clear. Only Joe Carr, not Lamar, will defend conservative Tennessee principles.
I'm Joe Carr, and I approve this message. Join me at carr4tn.com, paid for by Joe Carr for Senate.
I'm pleased to visit the area, whether it's McAllen, whether it's Laredo, whether it's El Paso, now in Brownsville, on a number of occasions. And he has reinforced the idea that anyone who comes here sees that this is a community with a border going through it. And this crisis, that some call a crisis, we have to view as an opportunity.
That ain't the way to have fun, son. Welcome back to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. And the number here is 718-305-7176. I'm waiting on somebody was supposed to call in. I don't know if they're having issues or whatever. We've got storms just blanketing Tennessee all over the place. So severe lightning and wind and rain and, I don't know, probably hail too with it. So we're kind of... Some of us are probably bunkering down, and maybe some lost power. I don't know. We will have free market warrior Lawrence Spivak here at the bottom of the hour, so he's going to be calling in shortly. Well, I just lost my train of thought. Train. Oh, yeah, you got Nancy Pelosi talking about this border crisis, which, look, this is the hottest thing going everywhere. I mean, this is like – it's talk show fodder. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that this administration is not being held accountable for anything from Benghazi to the IRS scandal to the NSA scandal to any of these scandals. They're not being – extortion 17, they're not being held accountable for any of them. And they won't. John Boehner keeps saying, well, we're going to sue. Well, where's the lawsuit? I keep hearing about it. I don't see it. But – Yeah, that's why I keep telling you, we have Provost Marshall that can arrest this president, but he's not going to do it. I think he's already been on record saying that his hands are tied. He can't do it, which I don't know why. People, we're going to have 90,000 illegals from all over Central America, and our so-called friends to the south, Mexico, is giving them free train rides to bust them in here. Then our own government is transporting them during the darkness of night to places like, the governor of Idaho says, I don't want them here. They're in Marietta, California. They're shipping them over there. They're scoping out schools that might have been closed and so on. They're bringing in people to scope out schools to make sure they can house these people. The Border Patrol people are becoming babysitters, if you believe the government, but they don't have to babysit 14 through 17-year-old or 18-year-old kids. They're getting free phone calls to call whoever they want, and this is going to quadruple. I told you, and I've been harking on this about illegal immigration. It's easy to fix. You stop the people coming in. You stop them coming in, and if you have to use the military, we got a lot of veterans coming in back from Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. Why not ship them down there, deploy them down to defend our border? I'm sure they would love to do that more than they would be in Iraq or Afghanistan defending another country. I'm sure they would. It's insane. It's insane that we keep doing this. It's insane that we let it happen. It's insane that we got a Congress that has no balls. We know even if if Obama was impeached or somebody was somebody in his administration was impeached, it wouldn't pass the Senate because we got Harry Reid and we got the liberal up there. Liberal Senate. It's not going to get through there. But it has to be started somewhere. I mean, I applaud people for, signing petitions and contacting their congressmen and so on to try to impeach this man, but I just don't see it happen. I'm sorry. The only way I think to get him out of office is to arrest him on something. You got Lois Lerner up there, from the IRS. Now they're talking about that they're going to settle a lawsuit from one of the Tea Party group, conservative groups. Actually, it was people that were against gay marriage that the IRS got all the records for. And I think they're going to settle that suit for $50,000. I don't think that's enough. And I might see if I can get a hold of somebody over there at that group to get them on the show to talk about, is that enough money? I mean, does the money justify what they did? It's just one. It's like every day I wake up, just one scandal after another, one scandal after another, and it makes me want to just like my top of my head is flying off or something. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's basically, I do understand it. I do. It's the dismantling of our republic. They hate it here, the liberals, and even a lot of your moderate and liberal conservatives like Lamar Alexander that voted for amnesty, basically. He was on, part of the Gang of Eight, voted for their proposal. And if that would have all went through, I mean, look at how many people are just flooding the border, coming to a town near you somewhere. Probably already in my town. I just don't know about it yet. They're bringing these kids in and children and young adults, teenagers, under the cover of darkness. Get free airplane tickets, free phone calls, free food, free medical. And then they got so many diseases. They got flesh-eating, scabies. They got tuberculosis. I read an article that this tuberculosis strain is so deadly, they don't even think they can cure it. And they're putting them in the same schools that your children go to. They're putting them in the same schools your children go to. They're out mingling with the public, the very public that we all hang out in. Who else knows where they're at? They said that tuberculosis strain that they have will cost $300,000 to treat per person. And they can't even guarantee that they can get rid of it. And like I said, we got people coming in all over the place. We don't know where they're coming from. They could be coming, there could be terrorists coming in. I'm sure there are. What a great opportunity. Open the borders, let the terrorists in. Let anybody in. We don't check them. Run background checks on them because that would just make them feel bad. We can't make them feel bad. This is political correctness, people. Just run amok. This is the definition of political correctness. And it's amazing to me that in what, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years, that our country has gone to hell this quick. It's truly amazing to me. We're going to try to see if we can get Lauren to call in the show here. And I think you'll like this guy. He's got a pretty good take on some things that he does. But we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully he'll dial in at the bottom of this hour here. So hold on with me. You're listening to Bing, Uncle Bing, at American by Design. The number here is 718-305-7176. Give me a call. We'll be back in three.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business, and let me run my own.
And welcome back to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. The number here is 718-305-7176. I'm still waiting on my guest, free market warrior Lawrence Spivak, to call in, but hopefully he will. I think somebody tried to call me on my cell phone, so I don't know if they're having problems or not, but we'll try to find out. Yeah, I'm looking through and Lauren's website, too, if you want to check him out, is ObamaPurity.com. So you can check his website out. It's pretty funny. He writes books, and he also speaks at different Tea Party events and so on. But he writes similar to Theodore Seuss Geisel, which he was a flaming lib. You remember Dr. Seuss, and but most of those books are children's books, and they're in our public schools, and they've been there for years and years and years. And, you know, I'm looking forward to him to call in, because I want to ask him as far as where he came up with the idea and how he's actually doing this, because, I mean, they're illustrated and everything, just like, you know, Dr. Seuss books. So I'm going to see maybe if I take a few minutes and give him a call maybe once I dig his number up. But I'm looking at some other topics that people are discussing. And like I said, that the blacks are saying that he'll go down, Obama will go down as the worst president. And you got the outbreak of pneumonia, swine flu, scabies, tuberculosis, all these diseases that we thought that we had eradicated, that we thought we got rid of. And it's unbelievable to me that we're allowing this to happen. We got militia people on the border carrying guns to defend the border. We got the border agent saying that they've been under orders not to do anything. All they have to do is get that piece of paper that says that they're going to appear within 15 days or whatever it is before a magistrate, and they won't appear. If they snuck into this country illegally, why would anybody in their right frickin' mind think that they're going to appear before a judge? Why? I mean, that's just common sense. You got the Obama administration saying, well, you know, we didn't really, you know, I guess they didn't expect this. They expected this. They expected every damn bit of it. They knew what was going to happen when they, you know, touted their immigration bill. Come here, you'll be, you know, and then we got Mexico, we got Central America, we got Guatemala, we got all these places down there that are saying, well, all you have to do is get to America and you will get amnesty. You got some people in this country fighting against this. You got Trey Gowdy, you got a lot of different congressmen that are of the conservative bent that are actually fighting against this. They're speaking out. But I think in a large part that they're falling on deaf ears. And I think I've got Lauren on here, and we're going to go ahead and introduce Lauren real quick. Let me just bring him in the studio. I didn't get a chance to screen him. But Mr. Lauren Spivak, how you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Now, you're the free market warrior. You've got two books out. One is The New Democrat, and one is The Gorax. And you're just – I've seen some of your speeches and so on, and I'm just dumbfounded, especially by the one where you talk about the $1 trillion. But I want to get to that a little bit later. I want to talk about these books first. And welcome to the show, by the way. And
thank you.
And now you do these books in the Dr. Seuss, the Theodore Seuss, Gesell type of vein, I guess it would be. And every time I have an author on, I always like to ask them what was their impetus about doing something like this, writing a book, and especially this kind of book or these kind of books, because you do them in that vein. And I wanted to ask you what started this.
Well, a lot of things I think came together. I mean, I've always liked to use humor to make important points. I think it's a good way to make people understand and to, you know, get people to listen to you is to be humorous about it. And I also have had an interest for a long time in getting a conservative message more into popular cause. The popular culture tends to be dominated by leftists, and you know, there's theories on why that is, but you know, most of what you get on movies and television and books is essentially a statist, leftist, socialist perspective, and Dr. Seuss, by the way, is a great example of that because he's regarded as this really nice, sweet, you know, guy who writes these delightful children's books. He's regarded as being entirely non-political and just wholesome and wonderful for your children. And he was a very talented man. He wrote good books. His artistry was very talented. His poetry was talented. But he was also a socialist. And I don't mean that in a casual way. He was a member of the Socialist Party of the United States. He was a cartoonist for a socialist newspaper before he ever wrote children's books. He was a professional socialist first and a children's writer second. And he fills his books with left-wing messages for the children. So, you know, several things came together for me, you know, a desire to make certain points and a desire to you know, expose, you know, some of the messages of writers like Dr. Seuss. And kind of make a counterpoint. In my second book, The Gorax, I think it's a little more obvious because his book, The Lorax, is very specifically teaching environmentalist ideas. I think ideas that I think are very incorrect. His points are very easy to dispute. But, you know, I wanted to make the opposite point in a funny way by parodying the original. And my book, The Gorax, really does that. And, you know, The Cat in the Hat, the politics are a little subtler. But we sent them to you and you read it, yes, by two books?
I didn't get them yet.
I did go
and peruse a lot of stuff about you. So, you know, I'm hip on doing it. But
I was just going to point out a detail in the front of the book of my New Democrat book, which is about Obama. I have a quote by Dr. Seuss in which he says, "I'm subversive as hell." The Cat in the Hat is a revolt against authority. It's ameliorated somewhat by the fact that Cat thinks of everything in the end. It goes as far as Kerensky and then stops. It doesn't go quite so far as Lenin, is what he says about the Cat in the Hat. And the point being, in his own words, you know, he's comparing his book to the Communist Revolution in the Soviet Union. That's where Dr. Seuss is coming from.
Yeah, and what's amazing is his books are in the public school system. I mean, and look, you know, I remember growing up with my kids, you know, years and years ago, before I knew what his, you know, a lot of us didn't know about Walter Cronkite being a big Democrat, you know, so we were just out of tune maybe, and maybe we weren't, you know, when you're 20 and 30, you're not that in tune with the political system. I think when you get older, then you actually start to question actual authority. When you're younger, I think you're actually questioning just, you know, things out of thin air that don't mean anything, you know. But, yeah, these books are in the public school system. I remember reading.
The left tends to treat their philosophy as just normal. That if you're a good person, you're a leftist. And that's tend to be how they view the world. And so, you know, you see this in Obama, you know. He says, you know, all I'm trying to do is get things done over here. I can't imagine why the Republicans, you know, are giving me a hard time about it. I'm just trying to do these positive things. And that's very much it's how they view the world and how they choose to present themselves. So this is one of the battles which we've got, you know, from the get-go, is to say no, you know, turning American healthcare into a socialist bureaucracy is not a positive good thing, like, you know, like Santa Claus. It's not
right.
But that's what they want to present. So it fits very much into the entire left-wing strategy and world outlook that, you know, teaching kids, you know, that cutting down trees is evil, which is the message of the Lorax, that it's evil to cut down a tree. And the human beings manufacturing things to help other human beings live better lives is evil. And that's what if you read the original Lorax, that's what it says. And they believe that that's not a controversial point of view. That's just good parenting to teach your kid that. So that's kind of the first step of the battle we're on, is to say, and this is very much what I set out to do even before I'd written either book. This is what I was setting out to do. I wanted to get a message out there that said no, that's not just, you know, pure unquestionable goodness, that there really is another point of view. And it's what I try to bring out in both of the two books. That, you know, the Cat in the Hat, you know, is not, you know, harmless fun, and that the Lorax is not teaching a viable lesson about ecology.
Well, yeah,
let me say, if the books, if you want to see the books, it's on ObamaParody.com. Okay, just in case some of the listeners want to actually see what we're talking about, you can see the actual books on ObamaParody.com.
I think you also have a read that you do on one of them that's on there too, that an audio video kind of read. And that was another part of my question, or what I wanted to ask you is, how are you able to do this with these books without getting sued by the Geisel estate? Because,
well,
I mean, they're so, and I wanted to know who is doing the illustrations, because they're beautiful. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic.
And again, if people, and you can see those on the website if you want to follow along with us.
It's
This is something that we put together. What was your question? Well, I mean, I suppose sister is a lawyer, and the one thing I know is that you can, you know, anybody can sue anybody anytime they want. However, probably the biggest reason that Geisel Estate doesn't sue me is they don't really have a case. You can parody a work of literature. This is well-established law. You can make fun of a work of literature. And, you know, if you watch Saturday Night Live, you know, any Saturday night, they're making fun of TV shows, of movies. That's not a copyright violation. I'm not copying Dr. Seuss. I am making fun of Dr. Seuss. I am trying to poke humor at his political positions and how he expresses them in his books.
I'm telling you, I love what you call yourself, Dr. Truth. That just cracks me up.
It seems like a good title. And anyhow, so parody, and this isn't even really debatable. Parody is this well-established law. You can make fun of somebody's book, and they can't stop you. It doesn't matter that they don't like it because you're not stealing their idea. You are attacking their idea, which is a very different thing, and the laws recognize that. So I'm sure Dr. Seuss and company have millions and millions of dollars to spend on lawyers, but they don't have a case.
I don't think they would want to go after you anyways, you know, so.
Yeah, I on the other hand don't have millions of dollars to spend on lawyers, but they don't have a case. So it's kind of an even balance.
Yeah, there you are. Now, as far as the illustrations go, you said a friend of yours does those? Because they're just great. I mean, they look on Obama and the Cat in the Hat. It's just some of them just totally amused me. I thought those were very, very funny, the way you did everything.
Well, I think one makes a parody work. And by the way, I'm working on my third one. It's going to be about Hillary, and we hope to have it out this year. The nice thing, you know, when parody is right, when you've got the right parody, it falls together. At least this is what my experience is. You know, when you take your original book, you've got a bunch of different, you know, players. You know, that Obama is the Cat in the Hat. He knocks on the door. He walks in. He comes in and he wrecks the place, right? And that's what the book's about. He wrecks the house. He wrecks everything he touches. And I'm already thinking, you know, that's kind of like Obama. You know, he just shows up out of the blue and starts destroying everything that he gets anywhere near, whether it's the VA or immigration or healthcare or whatever, the economy. And then he's got these two little friends, Thing One and Thing Two, who end up wrecking the house worse than he does. And they became Pelosi and Reed. And just like bit by bit, everything just kind of fell into place. The cat is the one who warns everyone about the fish. The cat's the one who says, you know, that he shouldn't be here, you know, and so he became Glenn Beck, because it seemed like Glenn, and I'll tell you, in the early stages, very early on, we were thinking about Rush Limbaugh being the fish, but it seemed that Glenn Beck is more like the fish of our times, you know, at this moment in time. You know, if you think about, you know, the voice that was really speaking out against Obama, you know, from the very beginning, you know, Glenn Beck, who comes to mind. So we just kind of, it all fell together. And similarly, you know, with the Lorax, we tried to take everything that was in the original and just play it differently. Even down to the seal on the cover, both books in the original have a seal on the cover, on the front cover of the book. On the Cat in the Hat, it says, "I can read it all by myself." It's a picture of the cat looking kind of self-satisfied, and it says, "I can read it all by myself." And so we decided to make one little change, and that is we put in teleprompters. So the cat's there with the teleprompters, and he's saying, "I can read it all by myself." That's what parody is. You change one little thing, and you completely change the meaning of the entire statement. So similarly, on the Lorax, the original cover says this book was made out of 100% recycled paper. And on my cover to the Gorax, which is a parody, it says this book was made from a 500-year-old tree cut from an old-growth forest. It landed on a squirrel.
So animals were harmed in the filming of that book or the making of that book.
Correct. Right. So, I love that
you got Glenn Beck in the fishbowl, and the Obama in the hat is picking him up, and you know the fish is talking to him and stuff. It's just, I love it. It just cracks me up. And for those of you who maybe are just joining us, we're talking to free market warrior Lawrence Spivot, and you're actually going to be coming to Tennessee here next month, right? In August.
I think late August or early September. I don't have my schedule in front of me. But, yeah, I'm going to be speaking to a couple groups. And let me say, this is what I do, is I speak to groups about free market economics. I want people to understand, you know, the dynamics of freedom, you know, how freedom gives us way better results than government force ever can. Even when the people in government are well-intentioned, it still doesn't work. And that's what I like to talk about. And if people are interested, you can contact me through the website, obamaparody.com. And also my email is my name, which is Lawrence Spivak, LorenSpivack. And so if anyone's interested in my coming and speaking to their group, just contact me, and I'd be happy to make the arrangements.
Yeah, that's basically how I found out about you. I think your publicist or somebody, you know, reached out to me about talking to a Tea Party group or something out here. And I'm grateful that I apologize for last week. I'm grateful that you came back on. I'm like, I just can't. Some things are out of my control, you know. And then tonight I'm going, oh man, we got thunderstorms coming in, severe ones, and there's lightning going on around. But yeah, I'm happy to have you on. We're talking to free market warrior Lawrence Spivak right now, and so you got another book coming out about Hillary, and it's going to be in the same vein as the two others that you put out.
Yeah, it's going to be. We haven't released yet, as the saying goes. We haven't released yet which book it's parodying, but it's very much the same format. We're taking a book that the vast majority of people will be reasonably familiar with, and we're turning it into a parody of Hillary. Actually, the subtitle is going to be A Parody of Hillary's America. Because it's about Hillary, but I also wanted to more broadly parody where our country is at this point. So we talk about things like public education and the welfare state come in for a lot of ridicule also. But it kind of revolves around Hillary and her presidential ambitions. So I'm trying to get that all into a 55-page humorous children's type book. It's not really a children's book. But in the format of a children's book that would be broadly recognizable. I can tell you if you want, I can tell you the first three lines. It's of limited utility in figuring out where it's going, but I like the first three lines. It's going to begin like this. Once long ago, there was no IRS. And no EPA, and no HHS. How did people survive? They just managed, I guess. So that's the opening stanza of my third book. Hopefully out by the end of the year.
And I tell you what, like you say, free market. I mean, the free market is always, and I don't think a lot of people understand how the free market works, but I mean, we tried the communal system back during the Pilgrims. That did not work. That was a dismal failure. We learned our lesson from that. But there's a lot of people out there that just continually want to destroy the free market enterprise. And, I was reading a story. I think it was, I don't know if you heard about it, but it was head of Greenpeace, I think, that's flying around on jets. And these people are out there telling us to use less fossil fuels and so on. And, you know, here this guy's jetting around using, I don't know how much, you know, what they call carbon, quote unquote, you know, which is really they turned CO2, which is a non-lethal gas, and it's good for the environment, into some buzzword, some bad word. But I don't know if you heard that story yet, but I think that was just breaking today.
Well,
I find it highly ironic about these people, how they denigrate big oil, they denigrate everything else, and you know, all big whatever it is, it doesn't matter, and then they turn around and, you know, they're hypocrites.
Well, they are. I mean, I'll tell you, the environmental movement is really, if you're looking at the broad picture of what's going on in the world, the environmental movement is a battering ram which the left is using to attack capitalism. It's not, I don't think it really should be taken seriously in and of itself, except how it's being used as a way to try to turn people towards socialism. What the socialist collectivist mindset is essentially about power. They say what they believe, and Friedrich Hayek was one of my favorite economists, called this the fatal conceit. What they believe, and they believe this both individually and as a group, they believe that they can make the world work better by force. That if they can just make everybody do what they think everybody ought to be doing, then things will work better. And what's fascinating, what I try to do in my talks, I give seminars called Economic Literacy, where I try to help people understand exactly why. You know, most people I talk to are already against socialism. What I'm trying to help them with is I want to make sure they can win the argument with their liberal cousin, with their socialist neighbor, with their kid who comes back from college, you know, filled up with this stuff. I want them to win the argument. And what I want people to understand is how it seems like force could work better. You know, if I'm a socialist, I say, well, I'm a smart guy, you know, and if I could just make everybody do the right thing, then everything would work great. And the problem is they're too dumb to figure that out, so I just need to have enough force to make them do it the right way, and then we'll live in a paradise. And it doesn't work, essentially because human beings, the knowledge of the human race is too dispersed, okay? No one person knows more than the teeniest, tiniest fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what there is to know out there, okay? We live in a really complex world where we benefit, all of us, from knowledge we don't have. You know, I drive my car every day. Do I know how to make a car? I don't know if I guess I did make a car. If you put me on a desert island, would I be able to make a car from scratch myself? You got to be kidding. It's a joke. I spent 1,000 years on the desert island. I never do that. You know, I use my phone every day. I don't know how to make a phone. Our knowledge is dispersed over millions and literally billions of people around the world, and we get way better results by leaving people alone and letting them use their own knowledge to their own ends. And in a capitalist system, their ends end up serving other people's ends. And so we actually get better results by leaving people alone than by trying to force them. And that's what's at issue. The socialists, and here's a big secret I'm going to reveal on your program, these socialists really don't give a damn about environmentalism, except when it's a tool they can use to attack capitalism. If the capitalists lose, if capitalism gets destroyed in America, and there's no more, and that becomes a dead issue, and there's no more free market capitalists at all, okay? And what you're left with is the socialists and the environmentalists. I assure let's finish my thought. The first thing the socialists are going to do is throw the environmentalists under the bus, because they couldn't care less about this carbon nonsense, okay? Socialists are very practical people. They want to remold society and do what they want, have everyone doing what they want. They couldn't care about this, you know, trees and butterflies and stuff like that.
Obviously, and it shows. I mean, look, I got respect for people like Ed Begley Jr., you know, that actually practice what they preach. I don't have any respect for Al Gore, you know, resident of Tennessee and California. I don't know how many houses he's got. He's got a houseboat out here. I mean, you know, I don't have respect for people like that are just hypocritical, and they want, you know, to make money off taxing carbon and what they call carbon, which is a joke. You know, I mean, you're talking about a $1 trillion business there in that respect. But I want to get back. I got you for another half an hour, so I'm going to take a quick break here, and I want to talk about your – I'm sorry, I was bush hogging. I got some stuff in my lungs still. I want to talk about your store in Concord Mills being expelled out of there a little bit. And then because I'm sure there's a story there. I don't know the whole story, but I've heard about it on TV and so on. But I want to talk about that on the backside of this break. And you're listening to American by Design with free market warrior Lauren Spivak. And the number here is 718-305-7176. And, Lauren, am I saying your last name correctly, Spivak, or is it Spivak? Or?
Yeah, you're pretty close. It's Spivak. We don't accent we don't accent either syllable.
Okay, well, I got a caller I need to screen too, but we'll be right back after this break. So hold on with me, buddy.
Will do.
All right, thank you.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Quash. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. Our number here is 718-305-7176. We're talking to free market warrior Lauren Spivak, author and stand-up Tea Party guy, just wanting to get his message out about free markets and about how they work. And he speaks to Tea Party groups, so if you want to get in touch with him, you can also – a lot of y'all will maybe download this and play it later as a podcast or something like that, so you can get in touch with me directly. And you can go to Facebook if you're on Facebook and look up American by Design, like the page, and shoot me questions. You can look my name up over there. Now, Lauren, welcome back. And now you started a store up. I guess it was a store, Free Market Warrior, in Concord Mills in North Carolina in July of 2009, and you were basically kicked out of the store because of some Democrat backers, I guess, that owned the venue.
My original, I said what I wanted to do was try to influence the popular culture and get some conservative messages out, which I didn't think were getting out very well. And this was my first attempt at it. This was before the book, before my seminars, before any of this, was the store. And the mall in North Carolina was owned by Simon Property Group, which is the largest owners of malls on earth. Okay, they own a mall near you, and they have millions and millions of, I forgot how many tens of millions of square feet of retail space, you know, in like 47 countries all over the world. They're a huge, huge enterprise. And they are also huge Democrats. It's based out of Indiana, and the family that owns it has given millions to the Democrats in every election, you know, in recent years. There's constantly major Democratic donors. and which I did not know until they kicked me out of their hall for basically selling things that were critical of Barack Obama. And again, if you remember back to 2008, 2009, when Obama was coming in, this was treated like the second coming. This was, if you went to any mall in America, they had shrines to Obama. You know, bookstores had Obama books, you know, the whole segment just for that, you know, and stores were selling Obama jigsaw puzzles and Obama, you know, T-shirts and hats and neckties and cigarette lighters and everything else in the world with Obama on it. And I was trying to get an alternative viewpoint out, and they basically threw me out of the mall for doing that. And they also assured me that it had nothing to do with the fact that they were all Democrats, that apparently the part of their company that donates money to the Democratic Party is a different branch than the part of the company that throws conservatives out of their malls. Those two departments never talk to each other.
Oh, of course. I seen your video that you had, and you were speaking to a group of people, I think in New York, maybe, perhaps. I forget where it was, and you lifted up a trillion-dollar bill, and you were trying to tell people what a trillion-dollar bill was. And I got a picture of that in the chat here, the show page, and it's from Zimbabwe. You want to elaborate on that, on the worth of a trillion dollars? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was either in Boston or maybe South Carolina. I'm trying to remember where the video was made. But the point I was making was that one of the big economic issues that our country is dealing with today, where most people don't even think about this, but this is what's really going on, is that we're running our government on printed money. That we have a deficit. People think we're borrowing the deficit from China, and that's not true. We stopped borrowing money from China years ago. We're printing the entire deficit in just freshly printed money, and that if you do that, you destroy the value of the money. So in Zimbabwe, they have $100 trillion bills with a T, because that's about what it takes to buy a 12-ounce can of soda in Zimbabwe, $100 trillion. Well, how did that come about? Because they kept, they just printed more and more money as they ran out, and eventually, inevitably, you destroy the value of the money. And it's kind of like smoking crack, in the sense that governments get addicted to doing this. The first time a government realizes that it can just print money and create value out of nothing, right? I mean, just imagine the rush you would get if you were in a room with a printing press and no money, you had no money, but then you ran the printing press and suddenly you've got $1 million just out of thin air. You know, you guys, what a trip that would be. I mean, it's like smoking crack. You would just be this huge, you know, thrill of excitement. Well, that's how governments feel when they realize that they can just make money out of nothing. And it's very hard to stop once you start doing that, because it gets addictive. And that's exactly where our government is. And this is encouraged by a philosophy of economics that's associated with a guy named John Maynard Keynes, who wrote back in the 30s and suggested that it was actually good for the economy to do this, that printing money, that borrowing money, government spending lots of money was all healthy for the economy. And that's what the left, the Democrats in America today, believe. And the Republicans don't really believe anything at all. So you've got one side that talks about how government spending and the government printing money out of there is really good and we need more of that, and the other side doesn't really talk about it at all. But the fact is, it's very bad for the economy. It makes people poorer. Both government spending by itself makes people poorer, and the practice of printing money out of thin air makes people poorer, and ends up destroying our economy, just as it destroyed Zimbabwe's economy. And that's the road we're heading down, and somebody needs to talk about it. So that's what
definitely. I mean, I read too that in a lot of circumstances, that all this money that we're trading with other countries and other groups and so on is not even really printed. It's just electronically transferred. There's no actually hard currency there, you know. It just gets electronically transferred.
That's true, which in a way makes it more dangerous. You know, if you go back in time, the first version of this you can trace back to the ancient Romans, who used to have gold coins. You know, there'd be a coin that would be made of pure gold. And then some Roman emperor, don't ask me which one, ran out of money. And so he sat around with his advisors and said, well, you know, what can we do? We're out of money. And someone said, you know what? Let's take this coin that's 100% gold, let's melt them down and make them 90% gold and 10% lead. And they did that, and suddenly they had a lot more money because they were all 10% lead. But then they ran out of money a while later. They ran out of money again. So you know what happened the next time they ran out of money? They made them 20% lead. And you know, 100 years later, you've got a lead coin. And that's literally what happened. But you see, it was a lot of work. And they did that. And that was the original inflation. They destroyed the value of the coin because it didn't actually have anything of value in it anymore. They called it the same thing. It looked like initially it fooled people. But the reality eventually comes home and the price drops, the value of the coin drops. But they actually had to work to do that. Printing is way easier than melting down the coins. And what you're saying is exactly right. The next step in the modern world is they don't even print. They just type some numbers into a computer and hit the enter button. So as creating fake money gets easier and easier and easier, we're back to smoking crack again, that it becomes even more addictive because you're getting the same rush with less effort.
Yeah, and now we got this crazy idea of these electronic type bitcoins and so on out there, and you know, I'm thinking you've got to be a fool to fall for this stunt, you know. And like you said, it's pretty sad when you can melt down a pound or half a pound of copper pennies, and they're worth true copper pennies, and they're worth more than the however many would take to make a pound anyways. It's unbelievable.
Which is why they don't make them out of copper anymore. It's inflation. You know, people think inflation is something that naturally happens, and it doesn't. It happens because the government keeps printing money as a way of taking the value out of the money that's already out there. So when the government prints more money, the money in your pockets right now, as you're sitting there talking to me, is losing value because the government in Washington is printing more of it. So in effect, they are picking your pockets because right if at the beginning of the day, you know, I'm just picking random numbers just to illustrate the point. If at the beginning of the day they have $100. And the guy in Washington has $100, and then you have $100, you know, you're even. At the end of the day, he has $1 million, and you still have your $100. Well, your $100 is now worth less because there's far more dollars floating around, and all of those extra dollars are in the hands of the guy in Washington who was printing them. So he, in effect, has picked your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I have more respect for a thief that comes up and robs me than I do for the government that robs me behind my back. And one thing I've always told my audience here, and they know that, is that if you didn't have all these withholdings and income taxes and so on taken out of your check every week, and you had to write a check to the government every month, okay, or maybe every 2 weeks, however it might be laid out, for the taxes that you need to pay on all these social programs and all this other BS out there, people would start to get more in tune with what the government's spending their money on, would they not?
Well, sure. I mean, things like withholding, you know, make it, you know, less painful, as does the practice of inflationary, you know, of causing inflation by expanding the money supply. When people, you know, just to reflect on your point in a slightly different way, sometimes I run into people who tell me that, well, deficits don't matter. You know, there's no problem. We can just print more money and borrow more money, and it's fine. And, you know, what I say to them is, well, why do we tax people at all? If the government can just print money, and if that does not do any harm, if that doesn't reduce the value of money, why does the government bother to tax us? They could just print whatever they need. Right now they're printing, you know, about a third of the budget. So why not print the other two-thirds? and save all this trouble of everyone having to fill out 1040s every year. The government, right? The government, as you correctly pointed out, they don't actually literally print it. They just do it on a computer. So it should be no trouble at all to increase by three, a factor of three, what the cash that's being produced out of thin air by the government, and then they wouldn't need any taxes whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I didn't even think about that.
That's the kind of questions I ask my liberal friends. Okay, why go to all of this trouble when you could print your own money?
Why would you? And then you're alienating a base. Well, you got what? 50% of the people don't pay taxes. You've got the top. What is it? 6% of the people that pay. Is it 30% of the taxes in this country?
I don't know the exact breakdown, but obviously the methodology of the tax system is to try to make it so that the majority are just getting free money, and that the people you've got a small enough minority that's paying virtually all the taxes. And this is always expressed in terms of, some kind of justice is being achieved by taking money away from people who have more and then supposedly giving it to people who have less. But what I try to point out, and again, this is why I think it's so important that people understand free market economics, is that the rich guy, you can pick whatever rich guy you want. Sam Walton, who founded Walmart, or Cornelius Vanderbilt, who is the railroad king, what's his name, who founded Standard Oil. You pick whatever robber baron rich guy you want. They actually did far more good for regular people and for poor people than any government program ever has, because the process by which you become rich in capitalism is creating value for others. So what Walmart as a corporation did was bring down the cost of just about everything. When I first got married, I remember it cost about $400 to get an inexpensive television set for my apartment. As I was starting up my first household, and that was as cheap as I could get a television set. Now you can get television sets that are way better than for half the price. For $200 or less than $200, that's prosperity. That is the Walmart system makes me and you and particular poor people richer, because for the same money they can get more stuff. A Standard Oil, a Rockefeller who founded Standard Oil. People think about oil like gasoline and cars, but this goes way back before there were cars. The original issue with oil was lighting their home. People used to need whale oil to light their home, and whale oil was very expensive. Rich people could afford it. Middle class and poor people, by which I mean the majority of Americans in the 1850s, 1860s, could not afford to light their home. You know what they did instead? They went to bed when the sun went down. And if it was December and the sun went down at 4 o'clock, that's when he went to bed. Because lighting your home was a luxury of the rich. So Rockefeller figured out how to make kerosene out of crude oil, which was just oozing out of the ground anyhow. He figured out how to make kerosene, and he figured out how to make it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, to a point where light came so cheap that even poor people could afford it. You see, what really helps the poor people is the capitalists, like Rockefeller. And yeah, he made millions of dollars. But he made millions of dollars making the lives of average Americans way better than they had ever been before. And so my point is that, Rockefeller doesn't really owe anybody anything. He's already helped the poor. The idea that there's some kind of social justice in taking his money away, the best thing you could do is let him keep his money and encourage him to do more of what he does.
Right, because if free markets work correctly, it props everybody up. It props the rich up. It props their workers up. It props the poor up. But when the government starts meddling around and, you know, and artificially manipulating the free market via the Federal Reserve that drops and raises interest rates and so on, then it hurts. It hurts everybody down the food chain from the top all the way down.
Well, because government can't actually produce any wealth.
No, they can't create jobs. They keep talking about jobs.
Yeah, they slosh it around, and in so doing, they destroy the incentives of what actually, which actually do create wealth.
Yeah, and the incentives themselves, people have to put up capital in business to start a venture or to keep going and so on. It's a risky type thing that they have to raise the capital to produce a widget, okay, that widget has to be, you know, marketed correctly and sold to other places, maybe in it might go into a car or something. I wanted to ask you real quick, I mean, do you think that, you know, the government, of course, has kept us in this recession that we're in. Do you think it's going to get worse than this? Perhaps even a depression?
I do. I think, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely correct. There's no reason in the world that this recession couldn't have ended back in 2009. If the actions of government that are, the government is essentially strangling our economy, that's trying to recover and is getting thwarted at every moment by government. But I actually do think it's getting worse. And what I'm really concerned about is the dollar. I think that, you know, we have so vastly increased the money supply in the last year, and we're still doing it. The Fed is adding about $1 trillion to the money supply every year now. And when they started this meddling back in 2008, the entire money supply wasn't even $1 trillion. The M1 money supply was about $800 billion. And so they're literally adding more than that additionally every year now, and have been doing it for years and years. What I think we're heading for is a collapse in the value of the dollar. I think it's going to cause a lot of pain for a lot of people. Most Americans can't, you know, remember living in a time where you had a hyperinflationary economy. But when you go to the store and, you know, a loaf of bread, you know, costs $100, it's all going to come home, and there's going to be a great deal of pain. It's very hard to stop inflation once it starts, because
right.
the government wants to make everybody happy. Here, I'll give you an example. Let's say that the value of the dollar collapses, which I think is almost inevitable at this point. And so now it costs $100 to buy, I was picking numbers out of a hat, but it costs, let's say, $100 to buy a loaf of bread. What might happen? Would it be a fair guess to say you might get some riots if people can't afford a loaf of bread because it costs $100? Okay, so let's speculate that there'd be some riots in the cities of people who are rioting because they can't afford bread to eat. What do you think the government's going to do? I think one thing the government's going to do is going to say, well, the food stamps are not enough. You know, we've been giving people $100 a week in food stamps, and that was fine, but now it only buys you one loaf of bread. We need to give people $1,000 a week in food stamps, not $100 a week, and then they'll stop rioting. Don't you see government saying that? So what's the next question? Where does the government get the money from to give people the extra money in food stamps? And the answer is they're going to print it. They are in a mode where the solution to the problem is to print more money. And once your money is in free fall, by printing more of it, this is how you end up being Zimbabwe, because this just feeds the inflation. And to make it stop, you have to take the money back. You have to stop giving people money. And the longer you've been doing it, the harder it is to do that. It's very painful to get out of an inflationary cycle, because you have to make people live with the fact that there really is not any wealth that's being produced. And most Americans are not used to that kind of pain. And I take no pleasure in predicting that they're going to get used to it. And it's going to be very unfortunate.
Well, yes, it will. I mean, I've been to East Germany a couple times, and I remember going there, and we had to buy like 85 Deutschmarks worth of just monopoly money that was not worth anything. This was back before the wall came down, and it wasn't worth anything. You know, our American dollar was worth something because it was backed by, you know, the gold standard, so on. But now it's not backed by anything. It's not worth anything to anybody, really. I mean, you know, and I remember other people telling me that when they were in Vietnam and so on, they would go down to cash their checks and they would get almost a wheelbarrow full of money, you know, Vietnamese money that wasn't worth anything. And, you know, we've come to the point, and like you said, you know, that I think that this country is in, we got $17 trillion in debt. I mean, and we, like you said, we just keep printing money and electronically transferring money to other countries and so on. It's just, I'm trying to figure out, other than getting people more aware of what's going to happen, what's coming down the pike, what are some of your suggestions?
Because well, I think what we're talking about is coming down the pike, that we're going to be in a situation where your dollar, you know, it looks the same as it does now, and you just assume that you can take your dollar to the store and buy, you know, a loaf of bread or a bottle of milk or whatever it is that you're used to costing a dollar, and you know the pain of inflation is it costs way, way more than that. What you're making doesn't add up to that, and that if on the other hand, if someone else came to your grocery store in Tennessee with Chinese yuan, that the grocery store would be far more interested in taking that money because that actually has value because the Chinese have a relatively healthy economy. And I want to be clear here. I'm not criticizing. You know, there's plenty to criticize about China, but I'm not criticizing them on this point. We did this to ourselves. We have destroyed our government. Rather, it's destroyed the value of the dollar, and the Chinese government has been making far better economic decisions than ours. In Venezuela, which is the latest country to go through this kind of inflation, regular working people who have regular jobs and get regular salaries can't really afford to buy much of anything anymore. They're lucky enough to have food to eat because their currency is well on its way to becoming worthless. What I was reading the other day about Venezuela is that the only people with money are the prostitutes because Venezuela is a seaport and they get a lot of sailors and the sailors patronize the prostitutes and the prostitutes insist on hard currency, which means foreign currency. The prostitutes don't want Venezuelan money. But if you have a job in a factory, you know, this is the job you've had your whole life, you know, and you get so many Venezuelan whatever, you know, a year, and that's your salary, well, now that's worthless. because the government's destroyed the money, and your boss is paying you just what he's paid you all along, but now it won't buy anything. And the only people who can afford to buy anything are the people who have hard currency, which in this case, you know, happens to be prostitutes. This is a really sad, sad thing, and it's completely avoidable, except we've made all the wrong decisions, at least our government has.
Well, I'll tell you what, personally, I mean, I've been stocking up on lead because the lead prices are up there. So, and, you know, I could use them for some other things, but
what to invest in. I said invest in wheelbarrows.
Yeah, wheelbarrows. Yeah, wheelbarrows and wheels, I guess. And I don't know.
It's money to the store.
Yeah, and you're listening to American by Design. We're talking to free market warrior Lauren Spivak. And you can go check out his website, ObamaParody.com, buy his books, help him out over there. And Lauren, we're getting down to the bottom of the half hour.
And I'll speak to your group. I don't charge to speak. Let me just say that. So people can contact me. I'd love to come down and speak to them. It's not something I charge for.
Yeah, I'm going to try to hook you up with a local group here that I belong to. And I've got some feelers out for some other groups. If you can shoot me an email or is it Rachel, I think, that I've been dealing with over there? Yeah,
yep,
Rachel can shoot me an email when you come into Tennessee or when you definitely know when you're going to be here. then perhaps we can, get your speaking engagements up. But I tell you what, this was just a great conversation. And I wanted to end this because I actually looked online for that Zimbabwe $1 trillion bill, and then I found out, they got $4 trillion, $100 trillion, and they're getting, I think $5, $6, because I thought it would be a good gag gift to give to some of these liberals or something, and that kind of thing. They're getting more money for them. Yeah, they're getting more money for them online than it's worth it in their own country. And that's what we're heading to, I'm afraid. That's what we're heading to.
Yeah, your money's major value is a joke.
It's a complete joke. And Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show. Sorry about last week, but I'm glad we got you on this week because there's a bunch of people in chat and everything that said that you just sound great. And we'll try to hook you up here in Tennessee. We'll do you good.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you had me.
Oh, well, thank you for being on the show and appreciate it. And, anytime you want to call back or want to be a guest again, we'd love to have you.
Especially
when you come out with your other book about Hillary, the Beast.
Okay. I will give you a call, and hopefully I'll see you in Tennessee this fall.
All right. Oh yeah, I'd love to meet you, man. Please make sure that you keep in touch with me and tell me where you're going to be because I'll drive to meet you. So, or maybe we'll have you speak at our group. But thank you so much for being on the show, Lauren. And I know you got things to do. And thank you again.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Take care. Good night. And that was Lauren Spivak, a free market warrior. And you can get his books, ObamaParody.com. Check them out. And we're going to take a quick break here with the bottom of the hour. I'm actually past this one, but we're going to take a quick break and be right back. I got a caller on hold, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hi, this is Dave Vance, your host for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Inside Tennessee is moving to Tuesday nights beginning on May 6th. Tune in and join the conversation with some of Tennessee's most conservative and constitutionally minded activists, experts, politicians, and average citizens that are fed up and making a stand. That's Inside Tennessee, Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC, nothing on a CDT. CCTV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, or a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with they icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
And thank you, Rush, and you're listening to American by Design with your host, Ben Fisher. The number here is 718-305-7176. And great interview, I thought, with Lawrence Bivitt. I'm going to try to get him back on because there's a lot of things that I want to cover with him. And I've got some local people running for local office, and the rest of my shows from now till the elections are over, especially in November, I'm going to bring in people that are running locally and ask them what they're running for and tell them to state their platform. And I got one on the line right now. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Bane. Appreciate it.
Yeah, please,
I've been listening to Mr. Spivak and have been quite inspired. As I mentioned to you earlier, your comment that a squirrel was killed in the publication of this book, to me, is still a laugh out loud one.
Now, I thought that was funny too. But yeah, you know, for him to do this, and you know, if you check his books out, they look just absolutely comical. And I know I got a couple of them on the way, so I'm waiting on those. But
I will check them out.
Now, you're running for, and what county, what precinct?
Okay. My name's Sam Harper, I'm running for the Republican State Executive Committee in the state of Tennessee, and it's the 14th district, which includes Warren, Franklin, Coffey, Van Buren, Sequatchie, Marion, and Grundy, which is where I was tonight. So it's a seven. The SEC is a little bit also for the listeners, because I find that there's some confusion at times. We're only 46 days away from kickoff of the big SEC, and so I've had more than one person make a comparison of that. But the SEC is the State Executive Committee of the Republican Party. It's essentially the board of directors for the state Republican Party. The Democrats have theirs. It's also called the SEC. And on the same election day, on the 7th, if you take a Democrat primary ballot, you will see their candidates on there. And if you take in those seven counties, if you take a Republican primary ballot, you will see my name on there running for one of two positions for the SEC. One is called the committee man position, and the other one is a committee woman position. I assume that it was set up that way some years ago, but it's each district has a female and a male representative. So obviously I'm running for the male in our seven-county district. So it takes explanation to people. Most people, even good, solid Republicans, a lot of them haven't heard about it, but it's potentially a very powerful committee. The board of directors of the state party, it selects who the chairman is. It determines the policies of the state party. It determines the direction that the state party needs to go strategically and tactically. It determines the rules the state party sets for the county parties. All the Tennessee counties have a Republican committee, a county committee, and the state party sets the rules for those county committees. So you add all that up, it's pretty important in terms of,
right.
You know, what are the rules? How are we going to operate as a party? So that's the sort of the technical discussion of what the SEC is.
Well, now, let's talk about your platform. I mean, what do you stand for, and why do you think that people should choose you over somebody else?
Well, I think it's I'll tell you first why I'm running, and maybe that'll give a little bit of insight. I live in the Tullahoma-Franklin County area. I graduated from Tullahoma High School, was fortunate to, this is many years ago, get accepted to Vanderbilt. One reason I was able to go to Vanderbilt is I was a Navy ROTC student there. And so after I got out of Vanderbilt, I served as a naval officer for 6 years. And then went into business, got a graduate degree in business, and have been a businessman ever since. About 13 years ago, I was sitting in my house and complaining about local politics, and my lovely wife said, either do something or be quiet. I'm tired of hearing you talk about it.
It sounds like my way.
And I looked at my then 5-year-old son. I said, Lewis, I don't think I can be quiet. He says, Dad, I don't think you can be quiet either. And so I started hunting around. I'm a conservative. I believe I live and breathe conservative principles. And I was looking around, and there were no Republicans, conservatives, in our part of Tennessee except for one county commissioner in Coffee County. A gentleman by the name of Robin Hines. Robin passed away this last fall. He was an excellent man. He was an excellent Republican. I picked up the phone and called Robin that Sunday and said, I knew Robin from when I was a Boy Scout. He was one of the Scout leaders. And I said, I want to get involved with Republican politics. And he sort of chuckled and said, well, it's pretty thin around here. I said, well, someone's got to be running against one of the local incumbent Democrats. And he said, well, there's some kid in Tullahoma that wants to run for state representative. And he didn't have his phone number, but he had his name. His name was Judd Matheny. And so I looked Judd's name up in the phone number, called him. I said, you and I need to talk. And
he's a great guy, too. I got that.
He is a great guy. I love him like a brother. I trust him implicitly, explicitly. That day, I called him up. I told my wife I'd be back in an hour and we'll meet and see who this guy is. I came back about 6 or 7 hours later to the house. She said, where have you been? And I said, I just met the next state representative for this area. And she said, what do you mean? I said, this guy is the real thing, and he needs some help campaigning. I've got experience campaigning from previous years. And Judd and I put together a plan in 6 hours that been sitting at Applebee's in Tullahoma. And we followed that plan, and he won. And he's won ever since. And he's increased his percentages. So he has proven you can stick to your conservative guns, and you can win. And you can continue to win by increased margins. And people will come over to you and join you. They'll understand you as you can communicate it. Well, let's fast forward to today. I'm worried, and I know Judd and I know some of the other legislators, that the state party of Tennessee is drifting. And so why is it drifting? And I go out, I've been out talking to people being in these seven counties. And by the way, this is the only position on the ballot for which you can vote in the winter will receive no compensation. The state executive committees have no compensation at all. They're you're elected, but there's no pay in it. So it has to have you have to have some passion and devotion to see this through. I went around this district and I'd ask people, who are the current SEC representatives? No one could answer that question. most people didn't even know what the SEC was. I said, it's your voice in the direction of the Tennessee Republican Party. And most people would look at me and sort of chuckle and say, that's not my party. That's a Nashville party. You know, I'm not connected to those guys. They're for Common Core. They're for amnesty. They want to restrict where you can take guns. They support all that. It's not me. I'm a conservative. And being that's what got me sort of psyched up is we need in our seven counties active representation in the Tennessee party because I think it is drifting. I don't – what do they stand
for? And when you said that, it's hard to find a Republican that, is going to run against, all these Democrats in – well, I don't know about the other counties, but I know Warren County is just full of them, chock full. But, it's tough. It's very tough to run against these people that have been entrenched in office for years and years and years.
Yes, I agree. And I think part of the problem – is I think the to use the old expression, the worm is turning in Tennessee. Warren is a transition county. Coffee is. All seven of these counties are transitioning. One of the officials in Sequatchie told me that they were having a difficult time finding enough Democrat poll, workers, poll workers, because they like to have half Republican and half Democrat. And
right.
This person told me, he said, they can't find enough Democrats this year. Well, I was stunned. I mean, that's interesting. But the party, and this is where the SEC can come in. The party, you go on the Tennessee TNGOP.org, which is the website of the Tennessee Republican Party. I challenge you to go in there and find a list of principles or values of the Tennessee Party, Republican Party. There's nothing on the website. I go on to the Republican National Committee website. I can link on to the platform. Well, I don't agree with the National Republican Party and the things they do, but you read the platform, it's pretty solid. Okay, but they don't follow the platform.
Yes, it is. No, they don't. They don't follow the platform. And I got to tell you, Sam, I've been talking – I've got a lot of the old blue dog Democrat friends, okay, I'll call them that. They're not the wacky out there liberal friends, and they tell me that they either abstain from voting because there's no they ain't got a dog in the race, whatever, yada yada. And I keep telling them, look, you don't have to vote Democrat all the time. We have an open primary here. I mean. You can vote for somebody that you think can make a change. And as I'm stumping for Joe Carr, and I hope you can make it out to the Warren County GOP meeting tomorrow night.
I'll be there.
That's good. Judd.
I'm driving Judd there. We're going to go in one car, so we'll both be there.
Okay. Well, I'll probably have a Beat Lamar shirt on. So, I'd love to meet you. Hook up with you, but the Democrats in this county, and I've had them tell me this before too, and this shocked me, is that they, if their families found out that they voted, crossed over and voted Republican, they would disown them. And I'm like, you're kidding me. I don't know, maybe you've heard that before too, but I've heard it on more than one occasion, and my wife's heard this on more than one occasion, and she talks to a lot of people all day long, probably a lot more than I do, and it's just a terrible mess that we're in.
It is a mess.
And Coffee and Cannon and a lot of these other counties. Can you hang on with me? I'm going to take a quick break. Okay, great. Let's take a quick break, and it'll be about less than 3 minutes, so we'll be right back with you, and we'll talk to Sam Harper running in the 14th district?
Yes, 14th district.
Okay, great. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Tennessee parents want to know where Lamar Alexander stands on Common Core. Parents want local control over their children's education, and Common Core puts that control in the hands of Washington, D.C. bureaucrats. Lamar's response to parents after standing with Common Core champions? Let's don't talk about Common Core. After being pressured on why he is not giving a straight answer on Common Core, Lamar says, with a laugh, "I always choose my words carefully." Lamar, why can't you give Tennessee parents a yes or no answer? Tennesseans deserve to know. Do you support Common Core? Yes or no? It's time Tennessee had a U.S. Senator that will give you a straight answer and fight for your children's future. State Representative Joe Carr is that person. Remember on August 7th, vote Carr, not Lamar.
What a great voice, and you're welcome back to American by Design, and the number here is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Sam T. Harper, and he's running for State Executive Committee here in, well, in the 14th District, and that includes, just a bunch of counties that he went down the list. I know Warren is one of them, and Coffee, and Sequatchie, and you mentioned Grundy County, and I remember you called in earlier, or tried to call in earlier, said you could not get a cell phone reception, and brother, I know where you're coming from, because when I was stomping for Zach Poskovich years ago, that we went to Grundy County, me and him, and you could not get a cell phone reception out there anywhere. I know that Grundy County is famous for stealing cars, but I think they're stealing the cell phone antennas too out there. I don't know, but yeah, we could. If you moved a foot, you would lose it, you know. So
yeah,
I understand.
I learned in some of the Grundy County areas and the Van Buren County areas and a couple of the Marion, I better have a map or something in front of me, because the map on my iPhone is inaccessible. You know, you have just no service at all. So it's I think some of those people up there, they like it that way.
They obviously do. Grundy actually used, I think it used to be number one car theft capital in the country.
Yeah.
But I think they slipped down to number two or three now. So, but I don't know, maybe they ran out of cars up there. But anyways, we're talking to you.
Let's address the Democrats who families could disown them, because I think most of us that are Southerners, Southern conservatives, just about all of us can go back one or two generations and say that grandparents, parents were Southern Democrats. Right. But it's pretty clear now. My parents are not living. My father was a young man in the Depression. He was a World War II veteran. He was a weapons engineer, worked out at the Air Force Base outside of Tullahoma here. My father, who was a main source of my conservatism, he would read the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal to me when I was a little boy.
I bet you loved that, huh?
Oh, I did. I read it to this day. I mean, he hooked me. But he would be aghast at what the Democrat Party stands for. And where the Republicans, I think, are missing the boat is we don't have litmus tests. We don't care about skin color, if you're tall, you're short, you're thin, you're wide. We don't care about your ethnic background. We don't care about your religious groundings. But if you agree with our principles, and that's where I keep going back, we need the state can be a guiding light out of how the heck we get out of this mess in this country, because it is not going to come from Congress. It's not going to come at all.
No.
It's going to come from the state houses. And the state house in Tennessee is pretty strong. It needs some bucking up, quite frankly. But the state party has the perfect opportunity to be the guiding light in bringing all of the Tennesseans together, because I could sit here and list off six principles that your Democrat friends would all sit there and nod their head and go, yeah, I believe in that. I believe people ought to work. I believe in life. I believe in the right to defend yourself and your family. You know, I believe in that you need to be responsible for your actions. I believe that taxes ought to be lower. They'd nod their heads. But we, as the Republican Party, we don't market ourselves on principles. We just drift. And I hear people in Warren County have said this to me. I read the Nashville newspaper. I listen to Nashville TV, watch Nashville TV, and it sounds like the Tennessee Republican Party supports Common Core and Amnesty. I don't support any of those, so why am I connected to that group?
No, but they're listening to Nashville, which is predominantly blue. It's not red.
Exactly.
So, and the same thing with Memphis, and the same thing you get out in the Tri-City areas, you know, in the state. It's the big metropolitan areas that are predominantly blue, not red. So I don't put much credence in being and all that kind of stuff. So
Judd has educated me on this. He sees it in the legislature, even among Republicans. The urban ones have a different concept of what the Second Amendment means than the rural ones. In the rural areas, we know what it means. That doesn't say except in the following exception. You know, it says you have the right to bear arms. And then he says it's the urban Democrats and Republicans that stand there and go, well, but maybe you shouldn't be able to take it when you drive to work. Well, wait a minute. I don't see that anywhere in the Constitution or in the Federalist Papers that say, except on your way to work, you can't carry an arm. So that split is real. It's curable, but it's real. And that's one reason I can't find anyone who can name our current representatives to on the GOP State Executive Committee. And so I don't think we're getting represented. Our attitudes and our values, and that's my pledge, is we're going to have a voice. It's going to be 166 because there's 66 members to the committee. I think Frances Arthur, who's also running for the committee woman position, she would be another 166 that we would get that type of voice up in these meetings, because And there's others running in other districts. I've met about a dozen of other people that are very similar to me that are running in other districts. So I think we can get a critical mass up there to put the brakes on this drift and this be moderate about everything. And, again, what Judd has proven is you can stick to your guns on a conservative basis, be fair with people, and you can get reelected, and you can get some things done. So,
yeah, and you can get elected
by being a
conservative.
That's the reason I'm behind. That's why I'm doing it. So.
Well, my hat's off, Sam. And it's been proven time and time over again that you can be elected if you're a conservative and you stick to your principles and you value those and you relate those articulately to the audience and to your constituency, and I think you did that pretty good today. So I'd like to extend my hand to you, and just I'll see you tomorrow night, and
look
around
forward
for
to
me
meeting.
And Yeah, it'll be a great time with Joe Carr and Judd there and Francis and you and a bunch of other people. Real quick, like a bunny, because I'm losing time here, but you can we can find you on Facebook at Sam T. Harper.
Yes.
And have any place else that
No, I'm new to Facebook, and so it's a little bit clumsy looking at times, but I'm just trying to let people know what I'm doing. One of my goals, and I'm very close to finishing it, is I'm going to every precinct in all seven counties. And I have been in some rural areas. I've been up on the top of some mountains. I've been down in some valleys and all sorts of places. But when I go, I put out a sign at the voting precinct, but I also walk around and knock on doors and meet people and talk to people. And to me, that's part of what this job requires, is I need to know what we're all thinking so it gets adequately represented. So I'm going to end up, before Election Day, I will have visited every precinct in the 14th District, and it's put some miles on my car, but I got hiking boots that I carry with me and use those, and I'm having a blast. I think it's interesting. To people are upset. People are not happy with where this country's going. And,
no, I'll tell you what, I'd like, I'm running out of time here, but I'm in recording mode, actually, but I'd like to have you on again sometime.
Okay,
maybe after Tuesday, we'll talk Tuesday, and thank you for calling. Sam Harper, running for state executive committee up here in the 14th District in Tennessee, and proud to know you, sir. I'm glad.
Thank you, Bing. I look forward to meeting you tomorrow night.
Oh, me too. And thank you for being on American by Design.
Good night.
Good night. And you're listening to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher. And number's no good anymore, but check us out next week. I'm going to do my outro real quick, and hopefully I'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you later. May God bless.
Notion, but deep down in his heart, he knew he was right. He cleared the way for you and me. You can still hear his spirit sing. I am amazed. America.